Welcome to the Postpartum Plan Podcast. I'm your host, Madison Fugere. I'm a certified postpartum doula and pediatric sleep consultant, the owner of Serene Moments, LLC, and a prior nanny and daycare manager. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about everything and anything that comes along with the postpartum period. I want to be your postpartum bestie by offering support, reassurance, and tips and tricks. Many people curate the perfect birth plan, but why not a postpartum plan? Together, we're going to build your postpartum plan because everyone deserves to have the postpartum experience that they want. Dee is a wife, mom of four little girls, children's sleep coach, and motherhood coach. She's passionate about helping moms redefine their motherhood journey a day at a time. She primarily works with moms of multiple children who are ready to prioritize sleep and end the mom burnout. You can head back to episode 27 to listen to the first episode we did together, which was bedtime routines with multiple children. Let's get into it. Hi, Danielle. I'm so happy to have you back.
I'm so excited to be here.
I am even more excited because I think that like now you're in such a podcast mojo now that you've got your own going too. So we'll definitely throw that in the show notes below. Go listen to Danielle's podcast. But when we were kind of, you know, thinking about what topic to do today, there's so many options, right? And like we could totally tackle so many sleep stuff. But one of the things you brought up, which I think is so relatable, is just like trying to make sure you don't lose yourself as a person and a human being once you become a parent, right? And especially like you mentioned, after you've got like two or more kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think it's such a thing, and I think we touched on this in the last episode, but it's such a thing that we think that when we become moms that we are no longer who we used to be. And that's right. True, because you are a different person each time you have one kid or a second kid or a third kid or a fourth kid. You become a different person. You become a different mom. But just because you become a mom doesn't mean that everything that you have done in your whole entire life needs to just like go to the wayside and become non-existent. And right. I think that happens to so many moms because we just like, oh, now we're like strictly in mom mode and we forget how to be a person sometimes. And it's really, it's hard. It's not saying that it doesn't happen and that it's not hard to get out of, but like just making sure that you focus on that, I think is really important.
Absolutely. And I think that it's one of those things, like I've seen, you know, the posts that circulate around and it's like, just because mom's your title doesn't mean like insert your name here isn't your title still, right? Or like, doesn't mean that like wife or partner or, you know, business owner or whatever you are, is any less of a title, but it's difficult, right? Like I talk with parents all the time that are like, how do we juggle all of this? How do I keep my relationship afloat? I did an episode with an amazing therapist on here talking about how like in the first year of life, that's the highest divorce rate, right? Like it's so hard to balance all the different aspects and puzzle pieces that make up you, right? So I'm happy and excited as like a mom of four to have you here to kind of tell us what can people do? How can people try to balance it? Like, you know, what works for you may not work for everybody, but it's a good place to start, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's also one of those things that, you know, especially the first time mom, like you're so excited to get your nursery together and like get the crib perfect and the sheets and the books and the little bookcase set up and your glider. But there's so many other things that should truly be focused on that we don't focus on. And we don't focus on it as a society. We don't focus on it until like you're in the moment. And yes, you never know what it's like to be a mom until you become a mom. And I like believe that. It's like, you know, you never know what it's like to fly on an airplane until you fly on an airplane, right? Like there's a first for everything. And I think one of the things that's really important is to like start that open dialogue with your partner about the hardships that could come. And I know that sounds like such a negative Nelly way to look at it, but if you start with an open dialogue and an open conversation being like, hey, everything that I see are like, do you remember how hard so-and-so had it when they had a newborn? Like they weren't sleeping, like all of a sudden we didn't see them, like whatever it may be. And having that conversation and just being like, listen, I don't want to lose communication with you. And so like the biggest thing that I always tell moms is, and like when I'm working with my sleep clients, particularly, I'm like, hey, where's your partner? Like what's going on in your household? Like, do you have a partner? Like, what is your relationship? Like, can they help? Are they willing to help? And I think that's like a really powerful way to go about relationships. But I think that me and my husband have had such an open communication our whole entire relationship that, like, for me, hiding anything doesn't make sense,
right?
Because if I hide something from him, why, how is that going to help me? It's actually going to hurt me, because then you become resentful, because then you're like, oh man, they didn't wash the bottles, or they didn't wake up in the middle of the night. And, like, you know, like the whole thing that you see circulate on social media of, I want to sleep on my husband's side of the bed because they don't clearly don't hear the baby in the middle of the night. And I think that that's true. But I also think as moms, we think we have to do it all, and we don't. Like, it takes two to tango. It took two of you to have this child, no matter what your relationship status is, no matter whether you had to go through IVF, like whatever that is, like it took two of you to make a baby and to decide to have a baby together. And maybe that means that you had a surrogate or whatever it is, but the two of you decided together to have a child. And so now the two of you need to talk about having a child. And I think so many parents don't do that. So, like, the easiest way that I always think about it is you have to include your partner in whatever you're doing. And, like, you know, quickly to touch on sleep in a sleep setting, I'm just like, they're like, oh, they only want me to put them to bed. That's what a mom will always tell me. I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, have you ever tried to just include your partner in bedtime? Like, not make them do it, just include your partner in a bedtime routine so that you can build up that trust and that comfort level for your child. Like, they're little people. Like, you have to treat them like little people. And so I think just open communication is, like, the first and foremost thing that I want anyone to have. And I know that not every relationship has that. And that's where it becomes really tricky. But there are ways to say things to your partner that aren't condescending or resentful, to just ask them to be included more.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have, like, a perfect example. Like, I have a friend who, they were both working, and she was, like, working part-time from home and part-time in the office, and he was full-time out of the house, and he would come home and he would just, like, sit on his phone. And she would get home from daycare with the kids and, you know, try to be getting dinner on the table and cleaning up and, like, getting ready for the next day. And she had to have an honest conversation with him, be like, listen, I want to do the same thing that you're doing, but if we work together, we can actually both have time to do that. And that was really hard for her to A, admit, and B, have that conversation. But that's how you start to not to lose yourself of who you were, right? Like, yeah, maybe you do become a stay-at-home mom and you don't have your job title anymore, and then you feel a little lost in your identity. But that doesn't mean that you can't find something else, even if it's just going for a walk, right? And I think that's kind of, like, where it all comes from, is truly just, like, mom feeling like they have to do it all by themselves. And yes, we are superheroes, 100%. Like, we can do it all, but we don't have to do it all. And there's a giant difference in that statement.
I think that one of the things that really stood out to me that you said, one, just that, like, you don't have to do it all, even though you feel like you do. And it makes me think about something else I've seen on social media, but that I've talked with parents about, both postpartum and sleep-wise, is the idea that, like, it's hard sometimes to give up control, right? Like, that bedtime routine, you're the one that normally does it. And so to have your partner or your parent or your mother-in-law or the babysitter do it, and especially with nowadays those cameras that we have that, like, you know, alert your phone if the baby's crying, know if baby's upset. And it's so hard, I find, for so many parents to not just swoop in and fix it, because they can do it faster, they can do it and make the baby happy, and everything's done, right? But the fatigue of that is exhausting at the end of the day, of doing that over and over and over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why, like, you know, sometimes I had a client once that I actually made her leave the house at bedtime. I was like, you have to go sit in your car.
I've done the same thing.
Like, you don't have to leave, but you have to go sit in the car, because guess what? Your kid actually is okay. And I mean, it was two nights of dad doing routine, and all of a sudden, kid was sleeping. Like, it was fine. But also in that, I think that so many parents feel that it has to be the kids that they have to give up the control. I'm going to put air quotes for that, the control over, when sometimes outsourcing on other ways is actually more beneficial. So, like, in our house, we have a cleaning lady that comes every other week, and that takes a huge weight off my shoulders that I don't have to worry about it. Or if you have like meal delivery service, or you'd have your groceries delivered, or you have somebody take care of your lawn so that either you don't have to do it during the week or your husband or partner doesn't have to do it on the weekends. You know, there are other ways to outsource. And like my first recommendation to parents, I'm like, okay, so what's causing you the most stress?
Right.
Like, are you worried about tidying your house? Are you worried about cleaning your house? Like, do you hate making dinner every night? So how can we take that off your plate? Because then a lot of times it then starts to creep in that then it's easier for them to like give up control to mom, mother-in-law, babysitter, nanny, whatever it may be. And I think that that is really powerful in and of itself too, is understanding that you don't always have to just give up control. Or not necessarily control, maybe that's the wrong word, but you don't always have to give up.
Yeah, you don't have to delegate out child care. Those things. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Child care. Right. And like, maybe sleep is an issue. And like, yes, incorporating your partner or your mom or your mother-in-law or a babysitter is really beneficial. And it's really just beneficial for your child to be around different people, because I can tell you that my oldest would only go to bed for my husband and my mother-in-law for like the first 2.5 years of her life. And that was really hard because we had to make sure one of the three of us was around. And at the time we owned restaurants. So like it was very chaotic, but, you know, like, and then you look at my youngest, who she stopped taking a bottle when she was 5 months old, and she nursed until she was 21 months old. So I had to be home for bedtime. And if I wasn't home for bedtime, there was a night I will never forget. I was out, my husband was home, and we're like, okay, she was like 7, 8 months. And, you know, like we like have been still trying to give her bottles, like the whole nine yards. She stayed up. She would not go to sleep. Like we even tried leaving her in the crib to cry. And like, that's not something we do. And like seeing, cause she was so tired. She stayed up until I got home at 10 o'clock and just like hung out with my husband. And that is so hard. Like that is pressure that I didn't want to feel. And my husband didn't want to feel it either. He felt terrible that he couldn't get her to sleep. And then, you know, we slowly worked on some other things, but you know, there are other ways besides childcare that you can delegate that so many moms, like the first thing is like, because a lot of times we have like older generations telling us, oh, just leave the baby with me. It'll be fine. And sometimes in the moment you just want to be with your baby. So what else can you delegate out? And that is a huge part in also like not totally losing yourself, or if you do feel like you totally lost yourself, starting to get yourself back.
Right. And I think there's two parts to that too, like of what you just said, right? Delegating out and figuring out what parts of life that you're comfortable delegating out, or stuff that you just don't enjoy doing, or that's taking up too much time for you. And I think that reverts back to like what you were talking about earlier of like prenatally making this postpartum plan, like talking about these things. And that's like a big thing that I emphasize with clients and on the podcast is making that postpartum plan, right? And including not just like stuff that you may need, but those services like a cleaning lady or like a meal prep service, or, you know, having someone buy you Instacart delivery for the year or something like that, you know, that can be so helpful. And then I think the other part of it too, that I think where this, you know, mom guilt of like, I'm only a mom comes in, goes to what you were just saying about, you know, you try to leave the house and sometimes things happen, like baby not being able to feed or fall asleep. And so when you come home, you're like, oh, that went horribly. I can't do it again. Right. And I hear so many parents say like, I had this happen. Or even when we talk to sleep clients, right? Like, oh my, I tried to sleep train this one night, but my baby was so upset and was awake for however long they were awake for. So I can't do that. And I think it takes consistency to be able to do that, you know, and be able to set up a new routine that may not include you sometimes. And that can be really, really hard for parents to become comfortable with that. And I think that's really where the I'm only a quote unquote mom, right? Like comes from all of this.
Right. And you know, when I talk to moms about stuff like this, you know, the first thing I say is it's not an all or nothing type of situation, right?
Right.
So go for a 10-minute walk. Like it's 10 minutes.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to start big. And I always equate this to if, let's say you're trying to lose weight or get healthier or build muscle, whatever it is, if you go all or nothing, you're going to fail.
Right.
So if you say, okay, I'm going to just start by going away for a weekend without ever have leaving your child before, like that is not going to work. You're going to come back and your guilt is going to be so high and be like, oh, I should have been here this weekend. I shouldn't have been out having fun with my girlfriends or whatever it may be. Or if you have to go on a work trip, I mean, I see this all the time. Like, oh, I feel so guilty that I have to go on a work trip. I'm like, your child is home safe with your partner and then in daycare that they are used to, or with their nanny, or with like your mom, whatever it is, like their routine. Yes, they are going to love when you come back, but it is actually really good for you and your child.
Yes.
Like, and I think moms don't realize that in all of this is we feel that we have to be attached to our kid 24/7. So like there's the daycare guilt, there's the nanny guilt, there's the going back to work guilt, there's the going out for a walk guilt. And I think like we need to rid that guilt so that you can actually be the best version of yourself for your child. Because I can tell you, as someone who is a stay-at-home mom and has been for 8 years, I have always had a child home. For the past 8 years, yes, we had restaurants at some point. So like I would be working some nights and my husband would either go home or my mother-in-law would have her. But for the, like, I mean, I have been around my children all the time. And there are days that I used to text my husband. I'd be like, I am so done. I was like, I am going for a walk when you are done working, because I just needed to get away. And if you, like, you do need to get away. And I personally have not met a mom that's just like, oh my gosh, I need a break. I mean, I personally haven't met a mom that says, oh my gosh, I don't never need a break. I love it. And like, there's nothing I'd rather do. Like every single mom needs a break. And it's not just from our children. It's from everything. Like you need to take time for you. And so starting off really small is where you start. So going for a 10-minute walk, just get like if you have a baby, just getting comfortable not being in the house with your baby, not having your baby attached to you. I had it. My second was an attached baby. So like I could not put her down for the first 4.5 months of her life. I can tell you that I used to be like, take this child away from me, because I was outtouched, and every mom gets outtouched. So just starting with a simple walk is like the best thing that you can do. Like starting by sitting in your car, doom scrolling, it doesn't matter. Like just like physically leaving your house, because going into your bedroom and hearing your baby potentially cry or know that, and like, it could be for a second, right? Like,
or even the giggle, baby was sleeping. Right? Oh, I missed out on some baby laughing. Like, whatever
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. Right. Like, just physically leaving your house for like 10, 20 minutes at a time is like really where it all starts. And then also like just remembering what you love to do before having a kid.
That was exactly what I was going to say.
Like, you know, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Yeah, I'm sure you loved going out to dinner and you loved going away for weekends and you loved traveling and, you know, whatever that was. But like, keep it simple. Like, did you like reading? And I talked about this on one of my podcasts. I was like, for Christmas, I asked my husband for a Kindle. I was like, I want a Kindle. I was like, I want to get back into reading. And I don't read anything fancy. I read like government murder mystery books. You know, like that's my jam. Like I can read them forever. And my goal is like a book a month. And I'm not going to hit it. I've read 3 books so far this year. And I'm like 20% through my 4th book. And we're halfway through the month. And I have a lot going on right now. And it's just not something that I'm super prioritizing. But I'm trying to read like 5 to 10 pages here or there. So I think just like keeping it, like, did you like crocheting? Like, it doesn't matter. And like, if it sounds dork, if you're like, oh, this is so lame, I'm like a 30 something crocheting. It doesn't. If you enjoyed it, then do it. It like going on walks. Like I love going on walks, and I have really fallen out of going on walks, and it's hard because I'm just like, I want to do this, but I know that there's an end in sight. So like, actually after recording this, I'm going for a walk because my kids are in preschool. So, you know, it's just one of those things that like, what did you enjoy doing that is something that is manageable in the time that you have now, to start there? And so like, is it reading? Is it crocheting? Is it going for a walk? You know, is it going to get a manicure and pedicure? Like, I think there's such this, like, I think there's been such a stigma that has been created around what self-care is as a mom.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, self-care is whatever you want it to be. If taking a long hot shower, like if taking a long hot everything shower without a kid barging in the bathroom feels like self-care to you to start, then that is what self-care feels like to you. Yes.
Right.
You need to get clean. I completely understand that, but you have to start somewhere.
Yes.
Right. Like you can't do these grand gestures. Oh, I used to get weekly massages and now I want to get massages again. Okay. Well, start with a massage and see what you can work into your schedule. Like maybe it starts out once a month. And so I think there's just this such a stigma around like going to the grocery store without a kid isn't self-care. You're right. It's not self-care, but to some moms that feels really good.
Yeah.
And if it feels good to you, then that is what you should do.
Absolutely. I even saw like, you know, people saying, you know, when I do have childcare, it's so hard to, you know, step away from it. So I love the fact that you're saying, yeah, it's really great, especially if you can get out of the house, because you really do kind of like force yourself to go, right? And especially if it's something that you're kind of like looking forward to, maybe like writing down a few things that you think you want to get done child-free, that would be easier, whether it be grocery shopping or not. Like you said, to some people, that's definitely not self-care, but it's a lot easier and it might be a lot better to go grocery shopping alone. And so like, take the opportunity, right? Or like you said, just the doom scroll in the car, I think everyone can probably relate to that. Like, you know, even right. if you go out and you come home and you sit in the driveway because you have 10 extra minutes of whoever's watching your kid, and you just sit there and you scroll. Because like that just like silence can sometimes really help to reset like your patience and your ability to like love on and care for your child in the level and capacity that everybody wants to be able to do, right?
And I think that's the bottom line, like the level that you want to be able to do it and having the patience. I mean, listen, having kids is not a walk in the park. Like, I'm not someone to sugarcoat it. Like, I have four kids very close in age, and there are days I want to pull out my hair. And like, some days my kids are best friends, and some days they're like oil and water, and it's really hard. But taking time away and taking time to just take a breath is really important. And not just like if they're fighting and you walk out of the room, like just taking a breath and like sitting in your car and doom scrolling. Like, don't feel guilty for doom scrolling. Like, our brains are working 65 miles an hour plus. Like, yeah. We are constantly thinking about all these things, and it's true. And even when I'm away, I'm like, okay, so now I have to do this and I have to do this and I have to do this. But the bottom line is like, I get to then sit in my thoughts for a second without listening to kids fighting or kids playing, whatever it is.
Right, whatever it is.
Like, I get to sit in my own thought, like with my own thoughts. And that's really important. And I used the word stigma before. And I think that just in general, there's this whole stigma of what it should be and what it shouldn't be. And I think what it really should be is what feels good to you.
Absolutely.
And that looks different to everyone. And I think that there are some content creators that make it really easy to relate to them. But then there's also the same thing that then they're also putting out like a different word about it. And it's like, well, maybe they're not there yet, right? Like, everybody's on a different journey and everybody's in a different stage. So just because you see someone who, like, my kids go to preschool 3 mornings a week, my younger two. So like, I get 3.5 hours, 3 times a week that I don't have children home. And to some people, that might be such a luxury. That might seem like such a luxury right now. And for me, for a bit, it was like looking at people, I was like, oh man, it must be so nice to have all your kids out of the house.
Right.
But now I'm here. And I'm like, my kids never went to daycare, so I didn't have that from a young age. But like, now I'm here, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, what's it going to be like when all my kids are in school full time? I mean, obviously, right. I have my own business, so I will have more time for that. But I'm also just like, what am I going to also do with all my time? And like, we are all in different stages of life. So just because I'm someone who is where I am doesn't mean that you're not going to be there at some point. Because at one point I was like, I had 4 kids home full time with a newborn. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I am overwhelmed. And so, right. You know, like going out on the weekend for a manicure and pedicure felt good to me. Like going to the grocery store solo felt good to me. And that was that at that time. So you really have to look to see where you are in your journey. And the quicker you can accept where you are in your journey, the easier it's going to be to start to take these steps to doing something for yourself and to feeling good about like yourself, but also like who you are as a mom and right. who you are as a person. You know, also like to throw this in, like, don't get rid of date night. I think that's something that after people have kids, they're like, oh, you know, the reason their relationship gets put to the side is because, yes, in those first year, I mean, the first many years, but like the first year, your kid literally needs you to survive. Like, they can't do anything on themselves, right? Like, they can't play by themselves. Like, they can't do anything. You need to feed them, like, the whole 9 yards. So whether it's date night at home or date night out, it doesn't matter. But, like, try to keep some normalcy in your relationship. So,
exactly.
Like, we now have monthly date nights with, and like we have a babysitter and she's great and she's amazing and my kids love her.
I was going to say, I've had many people say like, we won't go unless we book it out. So like the first Saturday of every month, I was going to say like, you know, if you're able to like have a standing thing, like, especially if you have a caregiver that's coming, like that's always super helpful.
Right. And like the other thing is, I think so many parents are like, think that it has to be at night. Like you can do day dates.
Yeah.
Like, especially like if you're both on maternity leave or FMLA or whatever it is, if you're both still home and not working, like, hey, grandma, can you come for like 2 hours so we can go to lunch? Like it sometimes makes it easier too, because you're like, oh, I feel bad because it's dinner time. And like, you can also just put the baby to bed or put your kids to bed and be like, okay, it's date night. We're going to cook dinner. We're going to sit down at the table together. We're not going to watch TV. We're going to talk. We're going to do whatever.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe you are going to watch a movie, whatever it is. I think just like trying to incorporate that. And I can tell you, like, me and my husband didn't have a date for like 3 years. Like, we didn't do it until like starting a year and a half ago. And that like really is something I wish we started sooner, but it was just really hard, and that's okay. Yeah. But we always make sure we had spent time at the end of the night together. And so I think it's just like, I know that there's so much information we just threw into this episode, but I think what it comes down to is that you are not a bad mom if you leave your kid.
Right.
And I think that you need it for you more than you realize. And the more that you do it, the more you'll realize it is actually what rejuvenates you. And it is what gives you more patience. And it is what makes you a better mom, is taking small increments of time away to maybe then lead up to like a big girl's weekend away. And that's okay. But just taking that time, and then also like taking time with your partner, like remember why you got in a relationship and why you wanted a child.
Right.
And for most people, and probably most people listening to this podcast, it was because they loved each other and they wanted to start a family together. And if you remember that, and if you just like say that, it's not going to cause a fight. It's actually going to be more beneficial, because you're going to be like, you're right. And then you can say, hey, I'm having a really hard time because I'm waking up 6 times a night and I'm exhausted. And like, I would love to try to figure out a way for me to get a nap in during the day, or maybe like at 5 a.m. you can get up and you sleep the night, or whatever it is. Or maybe you put them to bed, and trying to just communicate some basic needs that would feel beneficial to you.
Absolutely. I think it's so important. And when you take those steps back, you'll start to remember who you were before you were a parent, before you were in the parent fog, right? You start to see the parts of you and the things that you really love to do, and see yourself doing them again. And you see, like you said, you know, you and your partner, you know, falling back in love again, if you weren't, right? You know, you're struggling, and like, you kind of start to see those things when you're, I've had so many people say, like, when you're in that fog, you know, it's really hard to like see through it and to remember the other things that are happening. So being able to take a step back and try to like refresh a little bit can be really, really beneficial to kind of like seeing things a bit more clearly. And I think that that is like so huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, it comes down to what feels good to you and what feels good to you and your partner. And like, you don't need to be influenced by the outside so much. And if you have a good support system and you feel comfortable with your support system, use your support system in a way that would actually help you, not make more stress for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. I feel like that's such a great place to end it. I think that, you know, like you said, there's so much information in here, and just remembering that there is no one way to do it, but just making sure that you're finding what makes you feel like you again. And, you know, trying to prioritize other things doesn't mean that you're not prioritizing your child and your parent title, right?
100%. Actually, if you prioritize other things, it actually makes you prioritize your child more in a better way.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Postpartum Plan Podcast. It is a pleasure to be your postpartum bestie, and I hope to have you back for another episode soon. If you enjoyed listening to today's podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you would rate, review, and subscribe. If you're interested in more information related to today's podcast, or are looking for additional support in a postpartum doula or sleep consultant, you can find my information in the show notes, or online at serenemomentsdoula.com.